The night before Herod was going to bring him out to the people, Peter was sleeping between two guards. He was tied with two chains, and there were guards on duty at the prison. Aware of his situation, he went to the home of the mother of John Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. Peter knocked at the outside door, and a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer it. She recognized Peter's voice and was so happy that she ran back in without opening the door and announced that Peter was standing outside. "You are crazy," they told her, but she insisted that it was true. So they answered, "It is his angel." Meanwhile, Peter kept on knocking. At last they opened the door, and when they saw him, they were amazed. He motioned with his hand for them to be quiet, and he explained to them how the Lord had brought him out of prison. "Tell this to James and the rest of the believers," he said. And then he left and went somewhere else.
I love that scripture. I think a side lesson from that scripture is listen to teenagers. Listen to them. They tell truth to us that we often don't want to believe. And Rhoda told the truth that Peter was there and their prayers had been answered. Let's pray together, please. Holy God, we pause to pray. And today we want to ponder what that means. What happens when we do this, Lord? What is it that makes prayer worth our while? Lord, I ask that you would open our hearts right now and that the words that have been placed on my heart would indeed be your words, that you would hold back anything that is not of you, and that together we can imagine and wonder what it is to persevere with persistent prayer. Bless us, Lord, we pray in this time. Amen. Amen. If I were a betting woman, I'm not, but if I were, I would bet that we all pray daily and in different ways. Some of us pray every morning with a list right in your hands or by your side and lifting up a long list of names of people that you care about. Some practice contemplative prayer, which is coming before God in silence, just being present with God. Others, or really maybe all of us, are almost constantly in prayer, lifting before God people and situations as they come to mind during the day, right? I have a friend, and the gift of who she is that she knows that she wakes up at 3 a.m. every morning. So what does she do from 3 to 4? She prays. She prays for her family, she prays for the world, she prays for our country, she prays for situations and other people, and sooner or later she drifts back to sleep. And for me, that is a comfort to know that she is praying in the wee hours of the morning. One thing I know is clear, and it's clear about this particular church. The Garfield Park Baptist Church is a praying church, a church of prayerful people. So it's got me to thinking about the connection between light, which is our theme for the year, the light of Christ shining into us and leading us, and how we're called to be that light to the world, the connection between light and prayer. So that is, if by light we mean God and Christ in spirit. And we do when we talk about light. And it is a connection if by light we mean that we are led by the holy love of God. And we do believe that we're led by that love. And it is if by light we claim to be that light with our lives. So how does it connect with prayer? And it really begs the question, what in the world is prayer, really? What is it? And what happens when we pray? Those may seem like some simple questions, but when you really think about those, they're hard questions. They're deep questions. They are metaphysical questions about the world and God. We do know this. Scripture says to pray continually, right? There are a couple of places where it mentions that. In 1 Thessalonians 5, we're told to pray without ceasing. And the verse that Rob read earlier this morning from Philippians chapter 4 about not being anxious and to bring everything to God in prayer kind of suggests, again, to be always in prayer. Well, that's just not possible. If I close my eyes and bow my head when I'm driving, there's going to be a problem. It's just not going to work, folks. So what does that mean? How can we pray all the time? Well, maybe what the biblical writers, and particularly Paul, because he was the one that said this the most, I think what Paul is alluding to is a lifestyle of prayer. A lifestyle that is really an attitude. It's an outlook about remaining open, being aware, noticing God's movement in our lives and in the world, and mindfully living with our hearts full of gratitude. That can sum up what we're doing when we're trying to pray always. Because when we live with openness to God, when we live with an awareness of God's movement in the world and all around us, I think we're automatically going to be in prayer for people and situations that come to mind throughout the day. So I've kind of mentioned here that mindfulness, awareness is a part of prayer. But what else happens? What else is prayer? So I did what I kind of have grown fond of doing recently, and I did some Facebook crowdsourcing, because you know these are just like 100% accurate sources, right? No, they're good friends of mine who responded on Facebook and said what they think prayer is. And one of my friends said that at its best, prayer is a dialogue with God. I think that's true. She said it is time to share, it is time to inquire, and it's time to listen. I like that. Another friend said that prayer is an act of faith and it is appreciation for the creator of the world. Prayer is aligning with loving energy that vibrates through all. And I think some scientists, some physicists would tell us that that is exactly what happens when we pray, that there is a literal physical connection that goes out with prayer. Can't you feel it, right? You can feel it right now. Yeah, it is. So what we know is this, that prayer connects us with God. So consider this image. Have you ever seen a movie or video footage of a plane being refueled midair, right? Okay, it can be done. It's amazing that it can be done, but it can be done. And the source of the fuel comes along and connects with the plane and sends the fuel into the plane so the plane doesn't need to land. I love that image for prayer because God is the source of all life for us, and God connects with us and refuels us. I think this is what happens when we pray in those kind of daily moment prayers where all of a sudden a situation or a person comes to mind and we lift them up before the Lord. We're being refueled and connected to God that way. And that is one way that prayer happens. But you know what? Sooner or later, that airplane has to land, you know? It's going to need to be reserviced because I'm not getting on it. I am not getting on a plane midair, for one thing, and I am not getting on a plane that hadn't been checked out by the mechanics, that hasn't been reserviced. Silent prayer, contemplative prayer, does that. It's reservicing us. It's prayer that doesn't have an agenda. There is no gimme, 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 God in silent prayer. There is no please, God. It is just silence. And in that silence, we draw near to God. God draws near to us. We are reserviced and we are ready to go after that. Now, we've formed a silent prayer group here at church called Movement Plus Meditation, where we do just a little bit of yoga. And yeah, you're getting a commercial right now, okay? I'll just be honest with you. You're getting a commercial. We come together and we do some simple stretching, and then we sit together in silence for 20 minutes and then come back and kind of work out the kinks again and get ourselves ready to enter into the world. Well, 2 months ago, I put that on my Facebook page. I'm beginning to get what Facebook is good for. I'm figuring it out. I kind of hadn't gotten that before, but I'm getting it now. So I put it on my personal Facebook page. I had a friend in Pennsylvania, in fact, she's the one that said prayer is dialogue, who wants to know if we can live stream our group so she can join us. Isn't that cool? Cynthia Pearsall, who was a part of this congregation and now lives in Texas, wants to know if we can do it on Facebook Live so she can be a part of it. Well, that got me to thinking. I don't know how to do the live streaming stuff yet. We got to figure that one out. Anybody know? You help me out and we can get it going, okay? But I thought, oh, there are people that are interested in this. I just need to find other ways to promote it. So we put it on the region newsletter where it comes out every week. And it's on the Christian Theological Seminary website and their Facebook page, because our leader is a certified yoga instructor from the yoga and spirituality class at Christian Theological Seminary. And you know what happened yesterday? 10 people were here. We more than doubled the number, because these are people who are longing for silence in their lives, longing to connect with God in that quiet way. Now, it doesn't mean that they never have a list that they hold before God and lift up. They do. But they understand the value of being re-serviced by God in silence. So you know what, folks? We meet the first Saturday of every month, and y'all are welcome. We even had guys here yesterday for the first time. Yes. Yes, yes. That is good stuff. Good stuff. Recently, I read that prayer is the exhaling of a person's spirit and the inhaling of God's spirit. I kind of like that. Exhale your spirit and you inhale God's spirit, which made me think about prayer is holy energy. I really think that's true. That when we pray for other people or other situations, there is an energy, a real energy, a sacred energy that flows from us, between us and God, and then on to the person that we're praying for. And I think the Bible story that Cindy read exemplifies that to us today. Because prayer also, if it is anything, it is persevering. It is persistent. It's hanging in there with it over and over and over again. Whether it's a particular concern that we're raising before God or just our heart's desire to connect with God, we persist and we keep going with prayer. And that's what happened here. Peter was locked up in jail because Peter was ticking off King Herod. He really wasn't very happy with what Peter was saying and what Peter was doing. So let's shut Peter up by throwing him in jail, Herod figured out. But it says that while Peter was in jail, the church was doing something. What was the church doing? They were praying. They were praying constantly, it says, and intensely. And lo and behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Peter in the jail cell. Light shining everywhere. And Peter is shackled, and those shackles fall off of him. And the angel kind of just says, come on, follow me. Let's go. Come on, Peter. Come on. Let's go. And out they walk out of that jail. And Peter goes to the home where these people have been praying constantly and intensely, and they're still praying. So when there's a knock at the door, they send the teenager to the door. Rhoda, go see what it is. I love this. Rhoda is so excited. She leaves Peter outside. I just think this is a moment of holy humor because she's so pumped. It's like, Peter, womp, you all, Peter is here. And they're like, we're busy praying. Don't bother us, Rhoda. God, please release Peter from prison. God, release Peter from prison. And Rhoda is like, no, you all, he's out there. And the prayer had been answered. because these people were persevering with prayer. They were consistent with prayer. They were constant with prayer. They didn't give up on it at all. I think that Garfield Park Baptist Church is a church that is persistent with prayer. How many of you kept track of the number of emails or phone calls you got in January that were prayer requests? Rob, who sends out the email, said he sent at least 15 emails of prayer requests in January, and many of those emails contained more than one prayer request on it. That's a prayer request for every other day of the month. This church prays and takes it seriously. When we get a request, we get busy and we persist and we persevere in praying. We pray because we believe that there is something, as hard as it is to explain it, there is something that happens when we pray. Now, are people always healed and changed the way we want when we pray? No. No. In fact, last week we had a prayer request from a friend of someone here in the church, and we sent out the prayer request, and the next day we found out that that friend died. But our prayers still mattered, because they mattered to the person who was asking for the prayer request. They mattered to that person for sure. And who knows but that the holy energy that went back and forth with God and us and those prayers didn't help make that person's passing a little bit more comfortable. Maybe they did. I want to share a story with you, because when I did this sourcing on Facebook, I got an absolutely incredible story about prayer. Some of you have met our former General Secretary of American Baptist Churches, Roy Medley, and what a lot of people don't know is that Roy has this absolutely delightful wife, Pat, who's not American Baptist. Pat is a Lutheran pastor, and they've spent their entire marriage in two different denominational camps, and they've made it work out just fine. But Pat was so excited. She gave me like four stories on Facebook, and I said, have you thought about writing a book? Because you need to. But this story is just incredible about the power of prayer. She said, I have long marveled at intercessory prayer. She said, God could work these miracles without us, right? God could. But she said, the gifts that come when we ask in prayer are amazing. She said, she was asked by a woman in the church to preach about prayer. And she said this woman said she wasn't sure that prayer changed anything. That it only affected the person who was praying, who was doing the praying, but it didn't affect the person that you were praying for. Well, later that month, that woman, who was kind of the doubter, who wanted Pat to clarify about prayer for her in a sermon, called Pat and said that her partner had been found on the floor of their home, and that the squad was there working on her, and could she please come? So Pat came. And she prayed for the woman. The EMTs are getting nothing from her. They're just about ready to declare her dead. Pat and the other woman go into the kitchen and they pray together, and the EMTs holler out, we got a pulse! We got a pulse! We're taking her to the hospital! So they take this woman to the hospital, and Pat and her partner follow in the car. They get there into the emergency room, and again, Pat goes up to pray with this woman, and Pat holds the woman's hand and she says, if you hear me while I'm praying, squeeze my hand. And the woman squeezed her hand. The doctor said, that's just reflex. That's just reflex. We're going to declare her dead in a couple of seconds here. And Pat said, I'm praying some more. I'm going to pray some more. And she prayed and she said the woman's name and she said, Karen, if you know this is Pastor Pat, open your eyes. And that woman opened her eyes. The doctor changed his tune at that point. The doctor said, get some medicine into this woman. Start the IV. Do this, do that. This woman is going to live. And she did. She lived. A few months later, the woman who had been near death made a counted cross stitch for Pat that said, prayer changes everything. Something happens when we pray, folks. Something happens when you pray. You, the people of this church, when you are faithful with it, something happens. It is a mystery. We don't understand it. I don't know why some prayers are answered the way we want them to be and others seem to go unheard, but I do know this, that when we persist and persevere in prayer, there is holy, sacred, powerful, amazing energy that flows between us and God, and the whole wide world and things change because we pray. So never give up. Never quit praying. There is nothing too big, too overwhelming to take to God in prayer. Be refueled midair, yes. Land sometimes, please. Please land and be reserviced so that you can continue to persist in prayer. God, we marvel at the power of prayer. We marvel at what a gift it is. Give us persevering hearts, Lord, to know that no matter how far-fetched it may seem, that there is a sacred energy that flows when we pray. It is a holy vibration that knocks molecules together and causes them to change. May we always persist in prayer. We pray because we are the church. We are the light of the world. Amen.